Let's find a Bible. Get in your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Today we're looking at or honoring veterans today. Next Saturday is actually Veterans Day. I usually try to do, in cases like that, I take the Sunday before. Some churches, I'm sure, will be looking at next Sunday. That's a day after Veterans Day, so it doesn't really matter. We just decided today would be the day that we would thank our veterans, honor our veterans. We've lost two veterans. We have Brother Dave Murray, who has retired from the Air Force, here with us, and thought we might have Hubby here today. He's retiring from, or has retired from, the Marines, but we've lost two of our veterans. One of them was Jim Cupp, a veteran in the Army in Korea. We passed away this year. And then also Mike Terrell, a veteran of the Vietnam War, a Marine, and passed away and suffered some of that at only, I think he was 67 years old or something like that, but some of that, the reason why dying that early was because of his tour of duty in Vietnam. He had problems with Agent Orange as well as PTSD, and so we lost him this year as well. I'm actually taking the message today sort of from what we did at Mike Terrell's funeral. Not all of it, and it's going to be some different, but kind of the outline of thoughts that were given in Mike Terrell's funeral. I did both men's funeral, but Mike's was kind of a military funeral, so to speak, and had the 21 gun salute, the all those things that goes with military funerals. And so I preached this message, or a message like this, during Mike's funeral service. I think that was about the middle of August or something like that, that Mike passed away, and we had a good service, a lot of people there, and everything went well, I believe, and family was happy with that funeral service. So today I want to just highlight some of those things, some of those thoughts, as we read here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Probably a passage of scripture that, whether it's this Sunday or next Sunday, as churches think of Veterans Day, will probably be a passage of scripture that will be read in many of those churches. Because here in verse 3 and 4, it speaks of a soldier, verse 3, of the soldier of Jesus Christ. And in verse 4, talking about to please God, that soldier of the Lord, been chosen of the Lord and wants to please the Lord. So let's read just the first four verses of 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Paul has just now laid the groundwork as to what he is challenging Timothy on. And so he tells him to be strong in verse 1. And he says, "Now you know what you've heard of me. Now I want you to take that and commit it to those who are faithful and those who are able to teach others. I want you to pass it on." And so in verses 3 and 4 then, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And so today, just for a few minutes, we'd like to share with you the thoughts of a soldier has certain things in his life that makes him a good soldier. We've had bad soldiers and we have good soldiers. We just recently had a soldier, Bo Bergdahl, and things happened there. And then, of course, there's good soldiers as well. So the good and bad, we want to be a good soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearts. Challenge us, encourage, bless whatever needs to be done in every individual life. May, Lord, it be done today. May you be able to reach out and touch and work in our hearts and in our minds. Thank you for our veterans. Thank you for those that are here today. Thank you for our great nation in which we live. And we thank you for all this, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. A good soldier has certain things in their life. The first one that I thought of as a good soldier is a good follower. A good soldier is a good follower, and three things about that is his relationship, his rank, and he wants to also follow the rules. And so a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ would want those same things. We talked about a relationship this morning in the Sunday school hour. We need to have a relationship. I remember myself going into the Army. I had to take the oath of enlistment, raise your right hand. It was about 5, 6 o'clock in the evening, July the 12th, 1966, at Fort Hays, Columbus. I and about probably 30, 40, 50, I don't remember, men, but it was a room full of men that stood, raised our right hand, and we went through the oath of enlistment. You see, I had to have a relationship with the Army if I was going to be a soldier. I had to have a relationship with that branch of service, and we have the branches hanging here, the flags from each one today. And so I had to join that and be a part of that. The same thing's true as a Christian. If you're going to be a Christian, you have to join the family of the Lord. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so, we have to do that. So, July the 12th of 1966, I raised my right hand and joined the Army of the United States. And then on August the 6th of 1972, about 6 years later, I bow my head and become a part of the family of God. I prayed and asked the Lord to forgive me, come into my heart and save me. And I'm trusting in Him only as my Lord and my Savior. He's the one that paid the price for my sin. And so that day, as a Christian opened the Bible and led me through the fact that there's none righteous, no, not one. And he pointed to me and said, you understand that you're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need to understand, Dennis, that you are a sinner. You understand that? I didn't have to be convinced of that fact. I knew that I was a sinner. And then he told me a wonderful thing. He told me that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he told me about that gift of salvation through Jesus. He told me that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you like to pray and ask the Lord to forgive you, save you? I probably said what many say, well, I don't know how to pray. And he said, well, I'll help you in that. And we prayed together and I trusted the Lord as my Savior. You know what happened? I joined into the family of God. So number one, a good soldier has to be a follower, and that has to happen in that relationship that we have with the Lord. And then there's rank. You see these people, if you're not versed in the military, you'd see all these different things, the stripes on the sleeves or different patches and so forth, and or the things on the caps or on the shoulders and so that emphasizes what rank you are. You start out in the Army, pay grade wise, it's E1. That's what's that? Well, you're just starting out basic training. That's where you're at. You're an E1. That's your pay grade. Back when I was in the service, that wasn't much. I think my first paycheck was $80. And that was for a month. I'm not saying $80 a week. I'm saying $80 a month. But they were very nice for me. They provided me a place to sleep. It was a metal bunk with a mattress about that thick. They gave me things to do through the day. I don't want to get into all that. But anyway, $80. You know, you're part of that. You had that relationship. You were part of it. And there was rank there. There was those over you. I've often said this. You've heard me say it before. You'll never be a good leader until you become a good follower. You had to learn to follow others. Amen? And so that's what part of that ranking system is, that you have to learn to say yes, sir, and no, sir. I remember the first time one of our men said yes, sir, to a sergeant. The sergeant looked at him and said, I have to work for my living, son. Call me sergeant. I think he was making a little nasty remark about the officers didn't have to work for a living, you know. But anyway, you say yes, sir, and no, sir, and that yes, or sergeant, and no, sergeant, so forth. So there's ranking about. Are they better than you are? No, they're not. But you have to learn to follow if you're going to one day be a leader. So there was that ranking system. One thing we have to understand as soldiers of Jesus Christ, we need to learn to follow others that has come before us. You know, I'm coming to the time in my life where it won't be very long, a few years maybe or so. Lord allows me to live that long. I will retire. But I'll tell you what, I'll still be in a church, whether it's this church or another church. And guess what? I'm going to be under a pastor, and I'm going to say, yes, sir, no, sir, what can I do to be a help? Can I do this for you or that for you? I need to learn to follow. If I'm ever going to be a good leader, we have to learn to follow. And one of the things we need to do in our salvation is to learn to follow the Lord. Learn to follow the Lord. A good soldier has a relationship. He has a ranking, and he also has rules that he needs to follow. It's funny. I think it was Outback Steakhouse years ago. They started out and they were real big, and everybody's talking about Outback Steakhouse. And they came up with this saying, no rules. Until you walk through the front door and it says, no shirt, no shoes, no service. Now, wait a minute. I thought there was no rules in this place. And then down at the bottom of the menu, it says that the government has established the fact, and then it talks about how you can't get a steak too bloody. You know, some people like it. Throw it on the grill, let it sizzle for a minute, throw it on the other side, and then take it off. I'll take it, you know. And as soon as you put your fork in it, it goes, moo. That's how off. But he said, no, you can't. We can't serve it that way. I thought there was no rules. Of course there's rules. There is always rules, no matter where you're at and what you are doing. In the Army, they had what they called the rules of military justice. You had to follow that. Those rules, and still have to in the service today. I know I was back when they was riding camels and stuff like that. But it's still that way today. There is rules that you must follow in the military. And so it is true of us today as Christians. Where's our rules, preacher? Right here. It's not what people say, it's what God says. This is important. Well, I don't know everything in that Bible. Well, start studying it. You know, they never offered that excuse in the Army, in the military. They never said, you know, well, I understand. You don't know the rules. That's all right. We just want, no, you better know those rules. I remember standing in line to eat every meal. Somebody would be walking up and down line with that book in their hand, asking you about this. And if you didn't answer the question right, you had to go to the back of the line. Some guys starved to death before they got out of basic training. They're always going to the back of the line. And you only had so many minutes to eat. And you better, because then they shut the place down. Boy, they seem to be mean. They're trying to teach you to follow. They're trying to teach you there's a right way to do it. You had to know what that book said, and they meant it. And one of the ways to make sure you learn it is to starve you to death. Amen? I mean, because you were doing a few things through the day, and so you better know what's in the book. It's amazing how guys started reading what's in that book. I need to know that. I want to eat today. And so we need to know what's in the book. Thus saith the Lord. We need to know those rules. Matthew 16, verse 24 says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In my identity and in my conduct, I need to follow the Lord. I need to step out in the rank. I need to have the rules that God has given me. James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We need to know the rules. We need to know the book. A good soldier knows these things. He becomes a good follower. A good soldier is faithful as well. Notice verse 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. Number one, he's going to have to be patient. Notice the word endure there. A good soldier endures hardship. Now everybody is different about in the military how much hardship they endure. It's based upon what you have to do. But I'll tell you, everybody endures some, because first of all, they have to be away from family, have to be away from friends. They have to, in many cases, they're in another country, sometimes a far away country. We have to learn to endure the problems and the trials and the tribulations that come along with being a soldier of Jesus Christ as well. Not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to be patting you on the back and telling you what a wonderful guy you are. If you tell them about the Lord, they need to know about the Lord. And so we need to be patient. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Notice the patience. Same thing as endurance. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We're going to have to endure as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We need to have the right priorities. If you look there in verse 4, he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Nobody entangles themselves. They got to have those priorities. Did you know what the priority in the military is? The priority is the mission. You know, they came in to get a hold of Osama bin Laden. I don't know if you've listened to the account of that or not, but they lost I don't know how many million dollar helicopter in that. He came in and hit the wall. They're trying to keep low and hit the wall around that compound, and it crashed. Other things that happened, I don't remember all of it. And somebody says, well, that wasn't a very successful mission. It wasn't very successful what they did. This happened and that happened. What if they'd lost all those soldiers? What if they'd all been killed? All that could be true, but the mission was a success if bin Laden was dead or captured. See, that's the mission. I was in Dok Tho, and what they call the Battle of Dok Tho back in 1967. I think it was 1,100 or 1,200 soldiers were wounded during that 4-day battle. 230 30, 40 or something like that, I can't remember the number, was killed in that battle to take that hill. You say, well, what much of a success was it? I can't remember now how many helicopters were shot down. All the things that happened in that. You say that was a terrible mess. Yes, it was, but the mission was to kill the enemy and take the hill, and the mission succeeded. The hill was taken. I said 1,000-some wounded and 230, 40-some men killed. There was like 12, 13, 1,400 enemy killed, because it was a huge regiment of soldiers from the North Vietnamese Army, the NVA. But the mission is what counts. Folks, listen, we're all important to God, and God loves every one of us. The Bible says God loves you. It says, for God so loved the world that he was willing to give his son. But that was his mission. Jesus said, I come to do the will of the Father. And the mission was a success. He died on that cross and paid for our sins. And folks, you and I are no better than the Lord. We need to be willing to go. We need to be willing to serve. And yes, even willing to give our lives. How many missionaries that we talk about over the years have given their very lives to get the gospel out, to see people saved? You got to have your priorities. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Not only patience and priorities, but our practice. Our practice. I want you to go over to chapter 4 and look down at verse 7. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. A good soldier does not disgrace his nation, his country, or dishonors his superiors that are over him. And a soldier of Jesus Christ should desire to live in a manner that glorifies the Lord. Colossians 1:10 says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. As Christians, as a soldier of Jesus Christ, our desire ought to be a good follower. We also ought to be a soldier that is faithful. And then we also need to be a good soldier. We need to be a fighter. We need to be a fighter. He says there in chapter 4 and verse 7, I've fought a good fight. This is Paul. The Apostle Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I just didn't try to be nice or whatever, but I was out there fighting the fight. And by the way he says it here, it says, first of all, he was a determined man. He was determined to do what he was supposed to. A good soldier stands his ground until the battle is over. You've heard me say this, our military here. Have they ever retreated? Yes. What? I thought we never retreated. No, we don't call it retreat. We back up. Our military backs up and establishes a new front because where they were at was too dangerous for them. But the difference between the military of the United States and many others out there, not all, but many others out there, is we don't break and run. We still stand together. We might have to back up, find a different location, a different position, but you never see them throw their guns down and take off running, or turn around and take off running. That doesn't happen. Matter of fact, if it does, look out, you might get shot in the back. We don't do that. He was a determined man, Paul was. He said, I have fought a good fight, and I finished my course. He was driven. A battle is not according to our own timetable. And Paul understood that. He wanted to see his battle to the end. He said, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've made it to the end. I didn't back up. I didn't walk away. But I was determined and I was driven to do what God wanted me to do. Christians, we need to get back to that today. Too many giving up. Too many walking away. Too many saying it's too hard. No, no. A good soldier is a fighter. He's determined. He's driven. He's dedicated. A dedicated soldier. Good soldier keeps his oath. Keeps his faith. He lives it. He shares it. And he defends it. Look at verse 7 again of chapter 4. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Look at this. I have kept the faith. I have kept that faith. Do you keep your faith? What does that mean? Well, faith is not just saying, oh, I believe. Faith is living it. James said, you show me your faith without works, I'll show you my faith by my works. The soldier understands he can talk about being a good soldier. He can walk around in that uniform, but if he isn't willing to stand to the end, stand up for that which he has been commanded to do, you have to keep that faith. Christians, we have to learn to be fighters. I'm not talking about going out in the middle of the street and picking on people and all that. I mean that we have to be willing to be what Paul was. He said, I fought the good fight. He was determined, he was driven, and he was dedicated. And last of all, a good soldier is a finisher. A finisher. He's a follower, he's faithful, and he's a fighter, he's a finisher. Go back to chapter 4, verse 7. Again, he said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. And then he goes on to say in verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only. Not just me, Paul says, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I notice here that Paul was resolved, he was reasoned, and he said, I got a reward. He had resolve. From today, I bow my head for salvation. Well, that's a great thing. But remember, till the day I lay my head down in death, I am resolved to be a good soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God on July the 12th August the 6th of 1972, I bowed my head and prayed and asked the Lord to save me. And I've been walking the Christian walk, that life, and I want to keep going until one day, whatever that day is, I lay my head down. I lay my head down like Paul did. I fought the fight, I finished my course, and I've kept the faith. We need to make sure that we need to finish what God has begun in us through Jesus Christ. I said he had a reason. He had a reason for what he'd done. He looked back on what Christ had done for him. You know, the soldiers, one of the reasons why the soldiers of the United States fight the way they fight, do what they do, endure that hardness as good soldiers and so forth and so on. One of the reasons why they do that is because somebody did it before them. I have a man one day run me down, not literally, but I mean I was going out to my car to get in my car and my license plates says Vietnam veteran on. I heard this guy yelling and I was getting ready to get in my car. He was yelling at me. What did I do? He came in and he ran over there and he says, I want to check your hand. And he's calling to and he got out, finally got the fact that he was a veteran too, or maybe still a soldier, I'm not sure, but thanking me for my service. And he said, I know I'm supposed to say welcome home to you because you didn't get a welcome home, all this and that. Just all excited. And he's talking to me about things in Vietnam. And I'm thinking, this kid is not old enough to know anything about Vietnam. Where does he get this information? I said, boy, you know a lot about what happened in Vietnam. He's telling me this, telling me that. He asked me where I was at. I said the Central Highlands up and on Cape Lake Coo. Oh, yeah, and he knew all about that. How did he know about that? I got veterans that we talk to each other about Vietnam, and they'll mention names where they were at, and I have no idea where that's at. I mean, I wasn't there, you know. I mean, if somebody in another state in the United States talks to you about something in their state, you may not know anything about it. Oh, you remember back here, and they talked to you about some building in Houston, Texas or something. No, I don't know anything about that. This guy seemed to know everything. What's going on with this guy? Well, I'll tell you what happened. He says, I was trained by Vietnam veterans. He said, all my sergeants, older men, and all of them, he said, that's that, you know what, military guys, they sit around and tell stories. he knew everything about it. But by the way, folks, that's not a bad thing. Because the younger guy goes out and fights and does what's right because what? Because somebody back there did it. And I gotta do it as well. I want to tell you something. Not one person in this church helped put this building up. Not one person in this church gave money to get this church started. You say, well, no, that happened back in 67 or something like that. Yeah, somebody before us. We're sitting in a building that somebody else paid for. Somebody else gave. Somebody else worked and helped. And most of this building was built by members of the church at that time. They happened to have a contractor that was a pastor. And they built that. Matter of fact, that shed out there, that's a bunker out there, I think. I mean, it's stone. I mean, and the guy, who put that up? Well, the pastor of the church at the time put that up. He did that kind of work. I didn't do it. You didn't do it. Somebody before us did it. So what does that mean, preacher? So let's keep it going. Amen? Let's keep it up. Let's keep doing what's right. Let's keep this as a light shining at the corner of Ronald and Stone Quarry. Why? Because somebody else cared enough to do it. Thank God for those. And so a good soldier knows the fact that there's a reason for what we do. Because the soldiers of Jesus Christ had come before us and led that way. And then last of all, I love this in verse 8 of chapter 4. He said there's a reward coming. You ever see these guys in uniform? They've been in the military for a long time. They got all these bars here. You notice that? List after list of bars on their chest. Well, all those things, there's actually medals that go to those. When you get them, you get a bar and another thing that hangs down and a medal hangs down. But you put the bar on your uniform. Now and then, you might see in some occasion, you'll see somebody with the medals hanging down. Something going on, and they had them put the whole medal on there. But all those bars represents the medal for sometimes a campaign medal. On my uniform, I had a campaign medal, a Vietnam campaign, different thing, you know. A National Defense Medal, on and on. You have different things that go on those. That's your reward for whatever you did. But the reward goes far beyond that. And for the Christian, it certainly does. As we serve the Lord, one day we can stand before the Lord in heaven. And you know what he can say? He can walk up. Here's what they do. I've only stood, because I was only in the Army 2 years, I only stood before two inspections, GI inspections, I think they were called. I only stood before two. And they walk up and they stop in front of you, and, you know, they look down your uniform. Everything right. Is everything polished? You know, and all that stuff. I don't know where they do that stuff today. I mean, I was back in the Crimean War. No, it's not that long ago. But they go down through and look at you. See if everything's where it's supposed to be and all that. And then they go to the next one. They might ask you something and so forth and so on. They're inspecting. Wouldn't it be wonderful one day you're standing there before the Lord, and the Lord's walking down, he's talking to people. So he comes before you and he looks at you and says, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord." Can't get any bigger than that, folks. Can't get any bigger than my Savior saying, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." What he's saying? Soldier, you're a good soldier in Jesus Christ. Paul said, let's be good soldiers in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Let me ask you, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, would you classify yourself as a good soldier of the Lord? Think about that for a second. Would you classify yourself as a good soldier of the Lord? Are you a follower? Has there been a time in your life that you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Born again into the family of God, knowing you have a Savior, the Lord Jesus, knowing that you're a part of the family. As a good soldier, are you faithful? Are you a fighter? By that, do you stand up for what's right and do what's right? As a good soldier, are you going to be a finisher? Are you going to keep on keeping on? Would you classify yourself as a good soldier of the Lord? I say, if you're like me this morning, you probably say, preacher, I have some areas where I could be a better soldier. My desire, my heart is to be that good soldier, to be what God wants me to be, to do what God wants me to do. But if you say, that's true, but I'm certainly probably lacking in some areas that's been mentioned, then I encourage you to come to the Lord and let Him make things as they should be. Come to the Lord this morning and say, "Lord, I'm here. I really want to be, as the preacher talked about, a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me." You can come and pray and talk to the Lord about those needs in your life. You're here today and you're not even sure you're part of the family, then I encourage you, today is the day and now is the acceptable time to make sure that you're in the family of God. You're a part of God's family and a good soldier. Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of your people here today. Maybe if there's one, Lord, this morning is not sure of where they stand with the Lord. They think they're saved. They hope they're saved. But God, we know the Bible teaches you need to know you're saved. You need to know that you're part of the family of God. Paul said, "I know in whom I have believed." John said, "These things I've written unto you that you may know you have eternal life." There's one here today that doesn't know for sure they're saved. May today be the day of their salvation. May they come and allow me, Lord, to meet with them down here, and we'll take them aside and share with them what the Bible says about knowing Christ as their Savior. Here today, Lord, there's some that might say, maybe not the best soldier I ought to be. As a preacher preached, said some things, I realize there's some areas that I need to shore up, some things that I need to change, some things that may need to be different in my life. May, Lord, they be willing to step out and come, bow the head and bow the knee, and talk to you about that. So, Lord, this morning, right here at Fellowship Baptist Church, as God's people has listened to your word, may God, we respond according to your will. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.